welcome back to another edition of the Prepper Recon Podcast. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPPERRECON for 5% off your order at CampingSurvival.com. Hey, Preppers and Patriots. This is the second half of my conversation with John Jacob Schmidt from Radio Free Readout. Enjoy the show. Now, you just mentioned the Baofengs, and one of the great things about those is that even if you're not licensed for ham radio, you can key in the frequency for whatever your local ham club's net is. And, you know, if you live in the American Readout, you know, glory hallelujah, because obviously you guys run a net all the time up there, and people can go to Radio Free Readout and .com and get the information of that, participate in the net if they're licensed, or just listen in if they're not, and at least be receiving the communications, and you can print out all of those frequencies for your local ham club, and that way, if things do go dark, you'll have an idea of where the folks are going to be and where they're talking. Isn't that right?
Well, yes, but I wanted to say the American Readout Radio Operators Network is not limited to the American Readout. It is a nationwide network with thousands of operators all across the country in every state. We have regularly scheduled nets, national nets, which are, in fact, the first and third Wednesday and Thursday of the month that you can tune into if you have a shortwave radio, or if you're a ham operator, tune in. You can go to amron.com and click on the scheduled nets tab, and you'll see a drop-down menu where we have local and regional nets across the country. We have national nets with national coverage with members in Puerto Rico, Canada, and every state in the United States. So it started out as just a regional radio operators network for the American Readout states, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Eastern Oregon, and Washington. But since then, it really has taken off. It's just exploded. So wherever you are, if you have the communications, you can tune in. And that is a great opportunity to start practicing with your equipment. Now, you're going to find out that if you would have just bought the equipment, stowed it away, and never touched it, you're not going to communicate in a grid down situation. You're going to be fumbling with it. You will not have had the opportunity to dial in your settings, to troubleshoot your equipment. That's why we do it now. We train now, because any Amron operator will tell you, they'll just shake their head and say, you think you will, but you will not communicate on game day if you don't practice now. And they're all firm believers, because most of them started off thinking that, you know, I've got the gear, I could figure it out if I need it, but they will laugh at you.
And then you talked about the conference you went to, talking about super EMPs. Did they discuss vehicles at all at that conference?
They basically said vehicles are toast.
And that's even pre-1980 vehicles with no computer chips, or were they just strictly talking about computerized and electronic ignition and things like that?
Well, they brought something up that I brought up before when I was covering EMPs in one of my shows a while back. The Soviet Union in the 60s did EMP studies where they actually launched nuclear weapons up into the atmosphere and detonated them over Kazakhstan. Now, that fried their communications lines and cut power, commercial power, because all of those lines acted as giant antennas concentrating that electromagnetic energy, blowing equipment all over the country. But this is what they discovered was strange. These are 1950s Soviet trucks. I mean, it doesn't get any more basic of a vehicle than that. Obviously, no electronics. But their wiring harnesses burst into flames on their army trucks in this testing area in Kazakhstan. And once again, the frames of the vehicles and the wiring harnesses acted as antennas, which pulled in all of the electromagnetic energy hitting that truck, concentrating it on their coils, their alternators, and everything else, and fried that stuff and literally caused their wiring harnesses to catch on fire. So, you know, saying, well, I have a pre-1984 truck, so I should be good to go, or I have a diesel, so it should be okay. But you're seeing those kind of results in the 1960s with 50s era, very basic vehicles with no electronics, at a time before it, at a time when they were just becoming aware of the EMP effects and, excuse me, and had not yet perfected the weapons and specifically designed them for maximum EMP producing yields. So a lot's changed since then. So what they're saying in this conference is, if you've got a, if you have some type of motorized vehicle, don't plan on it working. If you do, that's, you got a bonus.
Wow. That's a, I think it's a big wake up call for a lot of folks. And we talked about layering. So, can you give us some other examples of layering? I've even heard of people using Mylar bags as a very low-cost, low-tech form of EMP protection.
Well, like I said, any type of protection is better than no protection. And as much as you can layer, based on my studies, now I'm not an EMP expert, but I have studied a lot of stuff from people who are not experts, and it shows, and people who are experts. And you just have to, you know, have, I guess, discernment about you to determine how you're supposed to apply all this really overwhelming flood of information once you start studying it. The information's there, but you have to study it, and you have to determine and walk away from that with things that make sense for you. A Mylar bag is not going to protect any equipment from an EMP. A double layer Mylar bag will add more protection, but then you put that inside of an ammo can modified so that, you know, you remove the rubber gasket seal, you replace it with, you know, a metallic gasket, or so there's several things that you can do with an ammo can just alone. So you do that in layers, and then this guy has a job box, you know, that goes in the back of his truck. That seals. He modified that as a Faraday box. So he takes his ammo cans and puts them inside this truck bed job box in his shop, and he's inside of a metal shop as well. So those are layers within layers, because he's taken Baofeng radios and a shortwave radio, completely wrapped them in double layer aluminum foil, put those inside of Mylar bags, double wrapped, inside of an ammo can, inside of a truck box, inside of a metal shop. So chances are this guy's going to be able to pull his gear out, and it's probably going to work.
And before we move on to the next topic, you mentioned shortwave radios. Do you have a good model that you like that's sort of low cost for folks that are on a budget?
Yes, absolutely. There are a couple models. There's a Sony model, which we have on our Amazon store at Amaron.com on the right hand side. And there is a Texon model. There's two of them that I strongly recommend, because I've tested the Sony side by side with the Texon, and the Texon outperformed the Sony. Although the Sony is a great shortwave radio, I was able to pull out weaker signals that I couldn't with the Sony. But the Texon models, there's two of them. One's a PL660, and the other one is a PL, as in Papa Lima, 880. Now, the 880 allows for finer tuning, but the 660, which is cheaper, actually has better weak signal reception. So it's a toss-up. I don't know why they couldn't make that just into one radio, but one's about $120, and the other one's about $180 between the 660 and the 880. Both of those are excellent shortwave radio receivers. Now, I just became aware of a shortwave radio that's pocket size that has been getting excellent reviews. I'm going to buy one and I'm going to do a review on it, but it looks just like a Texson pocket radio. It's a different model than the 660 and the 880 that I just recommended. But Texson also has this, it almost kind of looks like an old walkie-talkie type size of radio. And there's another company that came out with one identical to it, but only it has single sideband. That's by County Com. County, C-O-U-N-T-Y, Com, C-O-M-M. And that model is GP5. We're going to see what we can do about getting an affiliate link up there because of the positive feedback that we've had. And those run about $85. And they also have a jack for an external antenna. You really, really want to make sure that that is a requirement for any shortwave radio that you get. It must have single sideband and it must have an external antenna jack, even though they perform well a lot of times with the telescoping antenna that comes with them. You really want to get a wire up in the air as high as you can get and as long as you can get, 50 to 65 feet long, 66 feet long, or longer. Get that up into the tree and you'll pick up things that you never heard on the little telescoping antenna. But you want a shortwave radio with single sideband. Now, I'll tell you a little story about kind of a journey that one Amron Core operator took. She is located just outside the American Redoubt. She started off with T-Rex, which is our Teotihuacan readiness exercise, nationwide communications exercise, with a small shortwave radio. She was receiving digital communications and was just excited, right? But there were signals she was not receiving. So she said, you know what? I'm going to get a better quality shortwave radio because you do get what you pay for when it comes to communications. So she's looking at a $500 or $600 shortwave receiver. I mean, these are, you know, very good quality, way better for receiving signals that the smaller radio couldn't. Well, then she says to herself, I'm already spending this much money. Shoot, that's as much as a ham radio, like a transceiver. So you don't need to have a license to transmit in a life or death emergency situation. I may as well just get a ham radio that I could transmit on in an emergency. So instead of the shortwave receiver, she got the ham transceiver. And then it drove her nuts being able to listen to the Amron nets and other nets where she couldn't talk. So she went and got licensed. So this has been a progression. So it all started off with just having a shortwave radio. And then she continuously upgraded. Now she's an Amron Core operator, very skilled, very capable. She deals with the digital, the voice modes. She's even outside of ham radios. Got a very firm grip on encryption and other tools that we use for communicating, not on ham radio. And I said all that to say, you might not think ham radio's for you or that you have aspirations, but you'll see once you get on this journey, the capabilities that are there, you're at the point where most people are where they don't realize what they don't know. And as they become more aware and as they learn more and they're on this journey, you very well could be a full-blown radio operator at some point in the not-too-distant future. And the more we have, the stronger I think it makes the American citizens in the recovery of dealing with any crisis. I just have always wanted to encourage people to get their communications up and running or get your comms up because that's one of the most overlooked areas in preparedness is communications and probably intelligence, the intelligence process, and medical. Although more and more people are getting up to speed on medical. But communications, that's one where most people need the most work.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proven to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on gold and silver. Check out silver.com today.
In Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, Book 1, Behold Darkness and Sorrow, Daniel Walker begins having prophetic dreams. Through one of his dreams, Daniel learns of an imminent threat of an electromagnetic pulse attack which will wipe out America's electric grid, sending the country into a technological dark age. If they want to live, Daniel and his friends must focus on faith, wits, and preparation to be ready before the lights go out. Buy your copy of Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, Book 1, Behold Darkness and Sorrow, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.
And you mentioned the T-Rex. Could you just talk to us a little bit more about what that is, and then tell us what you're going to be doing for T-Rex this year?
Well, the T-Rex is short for Teotihuacan Readiness Exercise. So an acronym within an acronym. Teotihuacan, of course, is the end of the world as we know it. Doesn't necessarily mean the world's going to blow up or be even worst case scenario. But when things change very drastically, where they're probably not going to be the same again for a long time, that's Teotihuacan. So Teotihuacan Readiness Exercise, or T-Rex, is an annual disaster training exercise where each family, group, church, militia, or community mutual assistance group, whatever it is, to practice your disaster preparedness plan. Shut the lights off, turn the water off, get your generator out, set up your solar panels, do everything off grid, and practice however you see your group, your family, dealing with a major catastrophic disaster in our country, which leads to a grid down situation. Well, practice. When was the last time you got all that stuff out and actually put it to use? When was the last time you actually unfolded that solar oven and tried to bake some muffins in it? When was the last time you had to filter your water or carry your water, or there was no water for flushing? There's no water for cooking. Do you have enough stored up? Do you have a means of filtering it? Have you ever practiced using your wheat grinder? Use this weekend, that T-Rex weekend, to practice your preparedness plan. Now, incorporated into that is a nationwide communications exercise. We have – it's a scenario-based exercise where we preload stations across the country with little bits of news and situation reports and radio traffic that they can inject into the scenario at specific times, so those monitoring and participating can get this news like as in a real-world situation where they start to understand about road closures or riots in this street over here, in this city over here. You know, things like this is unfolding, developing situation. We understand the water in the greater Atlanta area is just discovered to be tainted, you know, so boil your own water. So those kind of messages will go out over the air all across the country to try to add realism to those participating and tuning in on their shortwave radios or ham radio operators. And it is also a training opportunity for the radio operators themselves on receiving and passing and handling radio traffic. So it's a great time. It's a great way to just really put your preps to the test, and a great way for the communication side of things to test out, to find out what worked, what didn't, what worked great that you never thought would, or what didn't work great that you were counting on. So that's what T-Rex 2016 is normally held in August, but this year in T-Rex 2016, there is a major disaster training exercise that is being conducted in the Northwest called Cascadia Rising. Now, the Cascadia subduction zone is where two plates are passing each other under the Earth, and they are estimating the next very large earthquake, at least a 9.0 or larger, which will create tsunamis. It will devastate the Pacific Northwest. They're saying, and when I say they, scientists are saying it is a matter of time and we are due for an earthquake like that. So FEMA, the Department of Defense, the Canadian Department of Defense, the Red Cross, ARES, RACES, all these organizations are conducting a joint training exercise from June 7th through June 10th of this year. This has been in the planning stages for the last couple of years, and a lot's going into it. So this creates a very valuable opportunity for citizens to practice monitoring that emergency radio traffic and passing it on to our fellow citizens who will otherwise be left in the dark, because disaster preparedness communications from the government and non-government organization levels are oriented toward continuity of government. It is oriented towards serving the government. The citizens and many people in government are not in that chain of command or in that information loop. Only a select few people are included in that, even in your state and local governments. So your county commissioner, your city councilman, your legislators, they are not anywhere in that information sharing loop. A lot of those people are patriotic, conservative, elected officials, community leaders, patriot leaders who are not going to be informed about what the government is planning when it comes to relocating populations toward cutting off access to regions and different control measures that they plan on putting in place. We want to be informed of that, and we want to inform our leadership who would otherwise be out of the loop on those type of planning operations. So we are going to be practicing by monitoring those communications during that exercise. And we're going to be putting together situation reports that we will be putting out during T-Rex. Now, T-Rex 2016 will begin the day that Cascadia Rising ends. They'll be going from Tuesday through Friday, the 7th through the 10th, and T-Rex 2016 will kick off on Friday the 10th and go through the 12th, Sunday. Now, there's also another earthquake-prone area, and that is the New Madrid Fault Line, which is right there in Missouri, Kentucky. I'm drawing a blank here. Tennessee, that area. I have a map of it in my planning, but we're also going to incorporate a second earthquake into that scenario where one plate affects the other, and so we have two massive earthquakes, very devastating to their regions that affect communications. And of course, just like we saw with the earthquake in Japan creating the tsunami, it also created other industrial hazards like the Fukushima nuclear plant melting down. So we'll incorporate things like that, peripheral threats that are triggered because of the earthquakes in the scenario. The New Madrid Fault Line is another one where scientists are saying we are due, if not overdue. And we've seen really an increase in earthquake activity from Oklahoma all the way through that New Madrid fault line area. So I think it would be prudent to include that in there as well, bring awareness to that for folks so that they can take measures to increase their preparedness for disasters. And also, since Cascadia Rising is mostly Oregon, California, Washington, and British Columbia, Canada, that kind of leaves the rest of the nation out of the loop, because this is supposed to be a nationwide disaster training exercise. So that's why we're also including in the New Madrid fault line aspects to this. And that will lead to power outages, surging power outages, or rolling blackouts and brownouts affecting basically the whole country. So we're looking forward to that. And T-Rex will be June 7th or June 10th through the 12th.
And if you're prepped for an earthquake and EMP, there's not a whole lot of other natural disasters or man-made disasters that are really going to catch you completely off guard. So that's a great thing is T-Rex and thinking about that date that you're going to have it, to sort of have your basic preps put aside by that date, because it's great to say, oh yeah, I'm going to do all of this stuff someday. But when you put a date down and you say, okay, I'm going to get it done by this date, it makes a great target goal date to yes. have all of that stuff squared away. And then it gives you a good opportunity to get it all out of the bag, unpack it all, test it out, make sure it works, make sure you have the skills to use it. So yes. that's just fantastic stuff you're doing. And I hope that everybody will either participate in that or get your community together and do something similar, maybe at the same time, or you could even use the same scenarios as that. Whatever, just get out there, get your stuff out, unbox it, try it out, and make sure you know how to use it, make sure it works. John Jacob, thanks so much for taking time to be with us today. Tell us, before we let you go, where do we find you and when are the two shows that you have for Radio Free Readout that folks can go and download and listen to whenever they like?
Sure. You can email me if you have any questions at johnjacob@radiofreereadout.com, readout with a silent B. You can also go to our website, radiofreereadout.com, which is the platform for promoting the American Readout movement. We deal with a lot of issues from Christian patriot perspective. And we have two shows. We have a Sunday night podcast every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Pacific time. And then every Saturday, we're on the American Christian Network and the Liberty Broadcasting Network, which are terrestrial stations broadcasting on multiple AM and FM stations across eastern Washington, reaching northeast Oregon and north Idaho. So it's a huge part of the American Readout that we're able to cover every Saturday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific. And all the information there is at radiofreereadout.com. On the right-hand side, there's a banner for listening, how to listen to the John Jacob Schmidt Show. And then also the communication side is amron.com. That's AMRRON.com. That stands for the American Readout Radio Operators Network. Even if you misspell it, do an internet search. We'll take you there, because we've grown so much that it's just right at the – even if you misspell it, it's right at the top. But go to amron.com to learn more about communications. We've got several videos for you to watch. And I just posted a T-Rex 2016 promo video. It's basically just a mark your calendars promo video announcing the coming of T-Rex and solidifying the date. That is in a posting at amron.com. It's only about a minute and 40 seconds long. But on the right-hand side, there are videos, introduction to Amron, and then there are two docudramas that were produced over the last couple of years called Comms Up and Comms Up 2. And those are about an hour-long docudramas that kind of take you through hypothetical disaster grid-down type of environments with radio operators and interviews about their perspectives dealing with a disaster. And so, yeah, some drama scenes kind of showing what that might look like in a real world type situation. And then we have contact information right there at amron.com. And I always encourage people to get this communications SOI. That's the signals operating instructions. In a disaster, you want to be able to link up with other similar, like-minded, prepper, patriot type of people. The Amron Network uses an SOI for real-world disaster training and disaster training exercises, and that stands for the Signals Operating Instructions, to know what frequency to turn to, what mode to listen to, when to listen to it, what to listen for, what to say. That is your communications guide for linking up with others, also available at Amron.com.
John Jacob, thanks again.
Thank you, sir, for everything that you're doing as well. God bless. Great talking to you as always.
Get prepared before disaster strikes. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, tough strip bandages, and so much more. Kits are available in OD Green, Coyote, Black, and ACU. $99 includes shipping. Go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.